Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Abraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Dirk Schrader, Chief Technology Officer, Technology CRM Authority. Dirk, you have a strong history of significant contributions in technology. Thank you for sharing your considerable expertise, deep accumulated insights, and wisdom with our audience.
Well, thanks, Stephen, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to take part in your distinguished interview series.
Dirk, can you profile your history prior to your current role and three lessons you wish to share?
Yes, I would love to. I fell in love with IT back in 1984 when I received an Atari 800 computer for Christmas. It had a whopping 64K of RAM, and for storage there was an attached floppy drive. The computer power is about equivalent for that Atari of my phone right now, so pretty funny. But that would still be the favorite computer I've ever owned. My love of IT led me to an undergraduate degree in information technology, but I quickly realized that I knew a lot about how technology works, but not a lot about why businesses use technology. So, in a quest to rectify that, I went back to school for an MBA degree at the University of Western Ontario and learned how business works. This has been one of my most valuable learnings, and this also brings us to lesson number one. IT is successful when you focus on the business objective. Anyone who's starting their IT career, please keep this in mind and focus on business objectives at all times, and your IT career will thrive. So, back to school. During the MBA, I discovered CRM, or Customer Relationship Management Software. At the time, there was a lot of media hype about why this new field called CRM was having such problems with adoption. So I started a research project on CRM adoption with another student named Bill Gardner. We had over 50 interviews with C-level executives across Canada and learned what worked and what failed. And our key findings on why CRM adoption was so poor were, so number one, cost. At the time, the typical CRM solution cost over $10,000 per person to implement, and that made CRM too expensive for most companies. Two, challenge of integration. Back in 1994, it was very difficult to transfer data between different systems, and most systems were proprietary without data conduits between them. This brings us to the third item, and also the most important, the challenge of changing user behavior. In 1994, the average salesperson had no experience with computers, and IT was a huge mental and technical leap for them. So knowledge of these key success factors has helped me succeed in all my CRM projects since then. And since 1994, the costs have come down almost tenfold from the original CRM costing. The other changes that have really helped with CRM is integration has become routine, and for most CRM packages now, it's partially enabled right out of the box. And, of course, changing user behavior has become much, much easier for two reasons. Number one, most users now have experience with some kind of computing devices, be it a smartphone or a tablet or a home computer, or even a video game. And number two, the average person now has just come to realize that IT in general will be part of their lives no matter what. So the just brick wall to say, I do not want to have adoption, is just gone. So after graduating, I continued to work on various CRM IT projects until ending up in 1997 as owner of a small IT company specializing in CRM. We had a number of successes, including Sinemid and Molson Breweries. My second lesson was a direct result of our success with Molson. Over a two-year span, more and more of our work came from Molson due to the success of our project. But then, the new CEO shut down the Ontario marketing division. And as a result of our overdependence on one customer, we had to shut down our company as well. This was one of the most challenging times of my life and also leads to lesson two. Life lesson is, we can overcome adversity through perseverance and hard work. You will have challenges, and you will persevere through adversity, and that will determine your success in life. Since then, there have been a string of successful projects, including TELUS Mobility, CIBC, MDS Pharma Services, and most of those have involved CRM. These ultimately resulted in my current CTO position at CRM Dynamics. Each project has built on the success and learning of the previous projects. And this leads to my third lesson in life. Focus on something you love, which will help you to get very good at it and will therefore lead to success.
That's excellent. Now, can you profile your current role and your objectives?
Yes, I'm currently Chief Technology Officer of CRM Dynamics Limited, which specializes in CRM implementations the world over. 75% of our projects are in North America, and the remaining 25% are spread across Europe, Central and Latin America, and China. Our development team is spread across three countries and operates 16 hours a day. Actually, if you take into account the overtime, we typically work closer to 24 hours a day. My objective is that I continue delivering projects on time and on budget while maintaining 100% growth per year. One of the secrets to our success is our own internal CRM system. It allows our distributed teams to coordinate their efforts as if they're working in the same office instead of all over the world.
So what are your insights on hosted solutions, that is cloud computing versus on-premise solutions? And then specifically in regard to Microsoft Dynamics CRM and Exchange?
Hosted solutions, or more commonly known in the media now as cloud solutions, based on the evidence that I see with our customers, they should account for 75% of all solutions in the next 5 years. CRM and Exchange are in the forefront of this trend, and Exchange is the perfect example of why hosted solutions make sense. I've got a story to demonstrate that from our company in particular. 18 months ago, we had a half of a full-time equivalent person dedicated to constantly maintaining, patching, and monitoring our Exchange server infrastructure. Then disaster struck. We were hit by a particularly bad virus, and our email was down for almost 2 days. And for companies such as ours, that practically shut down the entire company. So obviously that was not acceptable. We looked at different options, what we could do, and we decided to try the new hosted Exchange through Microsoft. Since then, in the last 18 months, we've had no problems with Exchange. The hosted model, Microsoft will patch it, they'll service it, they handle all the virus scanning. And knock on wood, we've had no problems with it, and we continue to not, will not have problems with it. And cost savings that we've realized is at least $40,000 per year. So for Exchange, the hosted model is very compelling. Microsoft CRM can be hosted or on-premise. The hosted CRM is ideal for any company with less than 50 users, and the reasons why are because then you don't have the IT overhead associated with maintaining, patching, and just managing the infrastructure for a small company. For more than 50 users, you start to shift towards on-premise CRM as the best solution. And reasons for that is the cost decrease as you get more users on a per-user basis. Ease of integration is simplified when you have the server infrastructure within your own environment, and you have more control over security and how you pass authentication between different integrated software products. Last point is with large organizations, you tend to have more control over development and staging environments, and that becomes very important when you want to roll out changes in your software.
Dirk, you have this great background. So can you detail the evolution of CRM systems from ACT and Maximizer to Siebel, Salesforce.com, and Microsoft Dynamics CRM?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in 1994, probably the best-known pieces of software of ACT and Maximizer were typical of the CRM offerings of the time. They would be standalone PC-based systems that wouldn't talk to any other software and would be individual-based. So the problems back then were very limited functionality, very difficult to have any type of interoperability between groups, and also not flexible. You had to take the software as it is, and that's it. That's the only option you had. If you wanted to build a custom CRM package, you could get around all those issues, but the typical cost would be over $10,000 per user. CRM today, using Microsoft CRM as an example, costs between $1,000 to $2,000 per user, and that would be the license cost, your implementation cost, and your first-year support cost. So that is more than a 10%, that's more than a 90% cost reduction. You're paying about 10% the money today as you would have 15 years ago for the same type of functionality. Plus, interoperability is usually built right into the system today, where it was not even an option back in 1994. Today's model of web-enabled open architecture in easily customizable software means that you can add the functionality you need to make your business solutions work. Microsoft CRM is our favorite platform and comes in a hosted or on-premise model. So the flexibility of having it on-premise or hosted is very key for a lot of organizations. And the smaller the organization, the more important it is to have a hosted solution. A typical solution today would have the front-end CRM include integration from your accounting system, your ERP system, data warehousing, other marketing and sales support systems. And typically what we do is we integrate all these different systems into one front end, so your sales rep or your call center rep is using what they think is one system. So in truth, that single system is really made up of a number of integrated systems, and that is something that even 5 years ago was much more difficult than it is today.
Now, with your strong background on technology, what are your views on the evolution of devices from a sales context, such as with laptops, smartphones, and tablets? What are the pros and cons? And then how does the evolution of devices compare against the generational change of people?
Well, for CRM to be successful, you really need to focus on the customer relationship part. So you have to make sure the technology does not stand in the way of the relationship. By providing customers facing people with the appropriate device, you can help facilitate relationships. So for example, you know, the standard desktop within a call center environment is fine. You've got a large screen and you have a lot of information. That does not work for a sales rep who's on the road and could be meeting a client at their office or informally over coffee. So to have a laptop or a tablet or a smartphone is key to making that person work effectively with CRM and their clients. So having the right device mix in your solution means the technology supports the customer instead of getting in the way. The new devices also benefit from more tech-savvy generation of users. We all have in our lives today smartphones and tablets and a home computer, even if it's just for video games. So it's natural to use these technologies. And just as it's becoming natural to use them in our home, it becomes more natural to use them in our business dealings as well. This technology trend is converging on the user sophistication trend and means we're in a golden age of CRM adoption.
Now, what are your recommendations on technology versus people, technology adoption, change of behavior, supervision, specifically in context of CRM?
Well, I believe that for any IT project to be successful, the goal needs to be to help the people meet their business objectives. So you need to have a compelling message why your project will benefit people. Too many projects today define their objectives in terms of the technology instead of the terms of the business goals. So start with the benefits and explain how your end users will improve their lives by using your solution. The technology will then come secondary, and your user community now has a vested interest in project success. If you can convince people why they should behave differently, then the flexibility of CRM systems today make the rest of the project simple.
In your current role, what are your three top challenges and top three opportunities?
Oh, I think I'd list a lot more than three, but I'll try to keep it down to the top three challenges. I would say the top three would be, number one, managing growth. We're currently growing at over 100% a year. Number two, balancing resources against time. And number three, effectively integrating distributed development teams. Our main team is split across between Toronto and Manila, Philippines. So that is a 12-hour time difference. The top three opportunities are really the different sides of the same issues. So number one, managing growth. If we effectively manage growth, then everyone succeeds in the company and we do well. Number two, balancing resources against time. When we're successful at doing that, all our projects succeed. And effectively integrating distributed teams, when we do that well, our projects also succeed.
What were your prior projects and what one lesson can you share from each of your major projects?
Almost all the projects we've been working on include some aspect of CRM. So one thing I'd like to explain first is how Microsoft CRM works and what makes it uniquely interesting in terms of IT solutions. What you can do with Microsoft CRM out of the box is you get a set of functionality. So for example, you have contacts, you have organizations, you have opportunities, and these fields and the data fields within these entities are available on the screen. They're available through the database, which is SQL Server. You can connect to Oracle and DB2 as well. I'll use SQL Server as the example. And there's also an API set that allows you to programmatically, through web services, manipulate the data in the system. But what makes it very interesting is through something, a process called publishing, you can add brand new fields through the GUI, through the front end, have them as any data type you want, put different labels on them, put different rules around their behavior. Once you've added these to your different forms and put linkages between them, you do something called publish, and this takes all these new fields. It actually incorporates them into the API and into the database. It's sort of like a whole development team on a single button. So as someone who grew up with coding this line by line back 15 years ago, the magic of just having this all form on the press of a button is pretty amazing. So in terms of some of the most interesting projects we've done, let me talk a little bit about Rogers Communications. the project we've done there has lasted over 3 years now, and we have over 2,000 users, and we keep building on this install base. The project started very, very large and very, very complex, and there was a huge RFP. And at the time, it was almost impossible for anyone to succeed at that. So what we did is we convinced our clients that instead of having one huge work effort, let's break it down into manageable chunks with 6 month deliverables maximum between any piece of delivery of their solution, and it's been working terrific since then. So there's a big learned lesson we had from that project, and that is to take any huge daunting task and break it down into manageable deliverable chunks. So I'm not sure if you want me to go into more examples for different areas.
Yeah, you could. Do you have other examples?
Another example of a large project we had was MDS Central Labs, which is a clinical research project, where we had a portal that would help the clients to understand the test results and summary data and data warehouse type functionality. This solution was built over a three-year period and had a lot of security concerns. Had a lot of human safety issues, and so there's a lot of extra work, a lot of extra functionality put around the whole solution that a typical CRM system did not have. I think the major learning there was that any system can be customized if you spend the right amount of time and effort on it, and you really have attention to detail on the security. Later on, I believe we're going to talk a little bit about how professional designation in terms of IT could help the practice. And this is an example when you're dealing with pharmaceutical information that it's really important to have the right skilled people to do right solutions. Another project I'd like to talk about is Digicel Solutions. Digicel is Latin America's largest mobile phone carrier and has over 6 million subscribers spread across 15 countries. We implemented a CRM system for their call centers. So over 400 users across three main call centers located in Jamaica, El Salvador, and Panama use our software, which has a customized front end and a back end of Microsoft CRM. This solution was challenging for many reasons, but probably the biggest challenge of the time was just the huge volume of data coming into the CRM system. I remember when we first engaged Microsoft, there were questions of if the technology could support the amount of transactions and throughputs we were planning to put through. So the lesson there at the time is we didn't know, but the hardware is rapidly advancing, and it was going fast enough that we were able to just throw a lot of hardware to the database server, and we were able to successfully implement the solution. So I think the original scope for the database server was 32 gigabyte RAM and a 16 drive array. The final solution had over 128 gigabyte RAM, and I believe it had a 64 disk array. So there's an example of how technology is rapidly increasing and can solve a lot of problems that we could not have solved even 5 years ago.
Somebody was saying you worked on a House of Commons system?
Yes. For the House of Commons, we did a CRM system that supported their library sign-out process of resources. So what we have there is the CRM system manages all the human resources of their organization and if they've signed out particular material. That would be an example of an XRM solution. CRM now is so flexible in terms of the entities you can create and the business solutions you can solve that Microsoft is trying to rebrand CRM into XRM, so where X represents any system. So the concept and the underlying technology does support the concept. I think the problem, though, is how do you get the marketing message out that here's a software for every solution? So I think that's a little bit more challenging. But what we find is the functionality that comes out of the box with CRM, and that is namely the web front end, security, workflow, ability to change forms, and ability to integrate with different systems makes it hugely flexible and is a great starting point instead of just raw code. So what we did for the House of Commons, their system is now managing all their resources with their internal staff. If a person doesn't return a book or an article, on time. It'll automatically send email reminders. It has escalations to manager and director level, all built in the system. And we were able to turn that around for less than half the cost of the next most competitive bidder.
Now, you have a really interesting educational background. So how has that shaped and supported your work?
The combination of IT technical background and MBA or business background has been critical to understanding how best to implement technology from a user standpoint. For every project, I start with the business needs and iterate benefits to be realized. Once people understand exactly what the solution will entail and how it's going to help them, then to backfill it with the technology becomes simple.
Now, if you can make your predictions for their future, in general, based on your background, if you can look into your crystal ball and, what's going to happen in terms of technologies and so forth into the future, what are the implications of these trends and how can we best prepare?
Absolutely. I think I'm particularly in a good position to predict certain trends, and specifically, right now our company is involved in CRM, which is a rapidly growing area of technology. We have distributed development teams, so I think there's a lot of insight I can have into what's going to happen in the future. So my prediction is in the next 10 years, 75% of all IT projects will be hosted solutions or in the cloud, and development will proceed 24 hours a day through worldwide distributed teams. Also, CRM will become as critical to an organization as their accounting or ERP system is today.
Now, there is this really interesting event coming up called the World CIO Forum, or WCF, and it's sponsored by IFIP, the International Federation for Information Processing. So why should IT executives attend the IFIP World CIO Forum?
I think the event has value both because of the location, namely that it's being held in China, and because having a worldwide conference helped to bring home the idea of globalization. Today, we all need to compete from a global perspective. Meeting your peers in your industry on a global footing is becoming more relevant to your business than meeting with unrelated industries in a close geographic location. I think in the past, we'd be able to operate in our own regional areas, and there was very limited global competition. But now, almost without exception, whichever industry you're in, you're competing on a global level, and you have to understand what all your global players are doing in terms of their cost structure, functionality, and future plans of growth.
What are your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession like medicine and law with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, and recognized credentials?
I'm more of an entrepreneur at heart, so my answer I think will reflect that. For mission-critical human safety and related projects, a professional IT designation makes sense. And the reason why is because there you've got human lives potentially hanging in the balance. But for the vast majority of internal business-related applications, I think that the certification could be less applicable and may entail unnecessary overhead. A good analogy is healthcare, where we have doctors for serious illness. However, there's also aspirin in the corner store or nurses for home care. Computing and IT is too broad a category to require everyone to have a professional designation like lawyers, but I definitely agree that there are areas of IT that would benefit from a professional designation.
Now, we're going to turn the tables. If you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Oh, let's see. First question, is offshoring a threat to IT in North America? Now, this is one thing that I hear a lot. Because of our offshore development team. And my answer would be that offshoring is a trend that ultimately leads to more jobs and better paying jobs in North America. There is disruption over the short term, but overall, the jobs that are here in North America become less of the back office, repetitive and straightforward tasks, and become more of the value-added, client-facing and creative positions. So overall, it's a good thing, but there is definitely disruption in the short term. Second question. Given the relentless progression of Moore's Law and that a single desktop computer in 2020 will have the computing power of the human brain, what is the long-term future of IT? Now, there's a conceptual question with advancing computer power that kind of makes you wonder what will be relevant in the next 10 or 20 years for anyone. And I think my answer is that IT will continue to move forward from a technical profession point of view. However, the work that we do in IT will be less of the code and less of the implementation of rules, and it'll be more of the problem solving and more of the consulting approach. So So very interesting, challenging, and fulfilling time to be in IT. Third question, how can technology business leaders help ensure the success of their organizations? I think it's critical that we keep a relentless focus on business objectives and never lose sight of the fact that IT is an enabling force and not the end goal. Too many people today focus on IT solutions and not why we're doing the IT solutions. All of us owe our jobs in IT to the ultimate goal of providing business value. Every day ask yourself, how are my activities contributing to the success of the company? If you can explain how you add value, you're destined to succeed.
Well, those are really interesting questions and answers, and gives us all pause to think and to sort of look at the environment around us and all the different kinds of possibilities. So thank you for that, and thank you for coming in to do this interview. I know your schedule is very demanding, and we're very fortunate you were able to take this time to share your wisdom with our audience.
And thank you, Stephen, for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'm Stephen Abraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Dirk Schrader, Chief Technology Officer, Technology and CRM Authority.